think some of these prophets were half crazy. No, not completely. No. Yes, possibly 75% crazy. Yeah, including Ezekiel. Jeremiah, we know he had problems. He cried all the time. No doubt. Isaiah prophesied naked for a while. That's all right, whatever. So it's not easy being an oracle of God. And we who are God's spokespeople today, and what? You don't realize you're God's spokesperson? Oh my goodness. Well, I'm not saying you're a prophet. You're not. You can't say, thus saith the Lord. But I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. You probably know this is one of my favorite passages. Yes, I'm going to get back to Ezekiel 36. But 2 Corinthians 5, let's see. For Christ then, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:20. For Christ then, are we ambassadors as of God entreating through us? God is today entreating the world through you. You're the spokesperson of God. Don't mean to put any pressure on you there, but you need to know the message you're supposed to give. And in this very context, the message is God is conciliated to the world. You're not going to get that in the King James Version there in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. King James is going to say God is reconciled to the world. He's not. Reconciliation is two-way. Conciliation is one-sided. And that's the word here in the Greek. God is conciliated to the world. Everything's cool on his end. A lot of people not cool on their end. They still don't like him. And as I told you Friday, I vented royally on Friday. The reason is because Christianity has proffered a false God, a caricature of the true God. So you're not a prophet, but you're a messenger. You're a spokesperson. And you're a little nuts, aren't you? You're a little crazy, aren't you? Just a little. You're a little marching to the beat of a different drummer. Yeah, I am too. We're like the island. We're on the island of misfit toys. You remember that from Rudolph? We're on the island of misfit toys. Here we don't want to stay. We want to travel with Santa Claus in his magic sleigh. A scooter for Jimmy, a dolly for Sue, the kind that will even say, how do you do? When Christmas Day is here, the most wonderful day of the... That's not. It's a horrible day. It really is. It's got bad. it used to be good when I was a kid. Loved it. Even when I was a adult and a young adult, or whatever you want to call it, I liked Christmas. It was great. But we here at the Pilkington location, we don't celebrate Christmas. Last Christmas, I went to the movie Lincoln. It was a little depressing, I have to admit. It was a nice movie, but the weather was gray. It was overcast. It was gloomy. You know, I had memories of Christmas past. Both my parents are dead. My former wife broke up our family. I was married for 25 years. She broke up our family. So that sucks. And so at Christmas is like, I'll go watch a Lincoln movie. Thank you very much. I hope they come up with a new Lincoln movie this Christmas. Is there a new Lincoln movie coming out? What? Well, somebody get on it. I need another Lincoln movie to entertain me on December 20 freaking 5th. Okay, now we're going to go back to Ezekiel. Sorry about that. Not really. I apologize for apologizing. God says in verse 27 of Ezekiel 36, I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes. First of all, you know I'm loving the active verbs. We had just discovered that, let me go back to verse 24, because this is a huge theme. And I didn't think that I was going to have this many parts on the lost 10 tribes of Israel, but I'm not done yet, because I got to tell you what happened to me in Michigan. Like 7 or 8 years ago. It was probably 16 years ago. Whenever I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, whatever I think it is, I just double it. If I think that that happened 5 years ago, it happened 10 years ago. So I'll double it. It was 16 years ago. An experience in Michigan that really hammered home to me something about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. But listen to Ezekiel 36:24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. This is full of clues if we have eyes to see here and ears to hear, because this is, so I hope you have ears to hear because we're on an audio here. is that when God convenes Israel, when he finally, when Jesus Christ returns, this is after the snatching away. Remember, this is not our deal. When I'm talking about Israel and Ezekiel, this isn't our deal. We're the body of Christ. But when God, when Jesus Christ, returns to the earth, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, from whence he departed, he is going to gather from all the nations Israel and bring them into your own land. That tells me that when he returns, Israel is not going to be in their own land. Well, but Martin, Israel's a nation. They're in there. Yes, that's not the true Israel. The true Israel will at least be believing in Jesus Christ. They don't even recognize their own Savior. Duh. Israel is one big duh. I mean, the Jews are one big duh. That's not anti-Semitic. It's the facts. And so when Christ returns, he's going to call. We're going to see this in Ezekiel 37, from the four corners of the earth and bring the true Israel. This is going to startle everybody, because I hinted on Friday about the parable of the wedding feast, when all these guests were invited to the feast, and they didn't show up. They weren't ready. And so he calls people from the street. All right. And the analogy, the other analogy of that, the Pharisees are wanting to take first place at all tables, anywhere you go. A Pharisee thinks he's the first in line. Actually, he's the last in line. So the people in the Holy Land now are going to be kicked out big time. It's like the tares being gathered for burning. They're going to be kicked out. Don't get all excited about Israel over there, because the true Israel is scattered among the nations. I'm pretty darn sure about it. And that's Ezekiel 36:24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. At that time, they're not going to be in their own land. Those who are in the land at the time are going to be the fakers, because there's going to be a false temple, don't you know? And the Antichrist is going to go in there and claim that he is God. That's a bad move. That's the middle of the 70th heptad, and that's the beginning of the end. There's 3.5 more years left, and the return of Christ will be imminent at that time. All right, now back to 27. This is the promise of the new covenant. I will put my spirit, active verb, within you, cause you to walk in my statutes. When there's no free will here, is there? No. The same God who has hardened the corporate heart of Israel is going to soften the corporate heart of Israel, and he's going to cause the corporate feet of Israel to walk in his statutes, and they will be careful to observe his ordinances in that day. Verse 28, and you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. And make no mistake, that is no other land than the Middle East, than Israel, than Palestine, where Jerusalem is now. That's holy land. Remember, holy just means set apart to God. And you will be my people. How do you know, God? Maybe he can tell the future, because he set everything in motion ahead of time. He wrote everything. The whole script was written before any of us showed up on the stage. So you will be my people. I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and will not bring a famine on you. That's different, because today there's famine. There was sure famine back in the world when Joseph was saving people, and that's not going to happen in the kingdom. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, that you may not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Now, how can people say Israel's not going to come into her expectation, her promise? How can people look at this? It's calling God a liar, speaking specifically of the preterists here. You're calling God a liar, because look at what he says he's going to do. He's going to do this for Israel. You're going to tell me that we, the body of Christ, who are, okay, we're possibly, okay, we're probably Israelites, but that's a whole different point, okay, because we're forsaking our national identity. But there are members of the body of Christ who are not Israelites. And so this is not a spiritual fulfillment of what God has promised to his literal seed. And verse 31, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. Not good. I like that. I'm reading out of the NASB, sorry. This is the first Bible I bought back in 1979. And the Concordant version is a little unwieldy. It's in five volumes. And after 100 years, they still can't get that thing under one cover for some reason. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Let me comfort you a little bit concerning your enemies. If you're a friend of God, you're a nutcase to the world and to your friends. Let me tell you something about this. Your so-called friends, your so-called family members who loathe you, they're going to end up loathing themselves in their own sight. They are going to finally see the truth. They're going to find, oh, so that's what Aunt Susie was trying to tell me. And they're going to, it's going to be a major, I could have had a V8 moment. Major. And God puts it far heavier way here. They're going to loathe themselves in their own sight for their iniquities and their abominations. Religion has been abominating God's name, and a day is coming, a day of reckoning, where they're going to loathe themselves. Now, this is going to be progressive. This is going to be helpful, because loathing yourself and seeing that, oh my God, how wrong could I have possibly been? All these people who believe in free will and eternal torment, they're going to loathe themselves. This is where the weeping and the gnashing of teeth comes in. They're going to literally gnash their teeth. Like, oh my God, how could I have been so stupid? And so they're going to have a pang, just like Joseph's brothers had a serious pang. And no, it wasn't heartburn at all. It was like, oh, that's him. That's the one we sold into slavery. That's the one we hated. That's the one we were jealous of. We were jealous that our father gave him a multicolored coat. Ours were monochrome, and it's like we hated him for it. And they hate you. They hate you for the message you bring. They're going to loathe that decision. They're making very, very poor decisions to not take the book you hand them, to not read the book they take from you, to not listen to you, to think you're stupid, to think you're crazy. The tables are going to be reversed. You're going to be exalted. They're going to be gnashing their teeth, and there's not going to be a dentist in town to be able to fix it. And so their tables are going to be turned. And I'm comforting you with these words. I really am. Because God is righteous, and He's going to do right by you. He's going to make sure that your enemies realize that, wow, I really blew it. Now, you got to admit, don't be funny here. Don't hold on to me. You kind of want to see your enemies get what's coming to them, right? I mean, you do. Well, if you don't, then you're a liar. Or you're pure, you're totally pure and holy. You're purer and you're holier than I am. You're purer and you're holier than Martin Zender. And you're even purer and holier than the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, which is the last chapter the Apostle Paul ever wrote, he brought up the name of Alexander the coppersmith, who did much evil to Paul, very much evil. And he said, God's going to get that guy. Read that 2 Timothy chapter 4. God's going to get that guy, Alexander the coppersmith. God's going to repay him. I'm still pissed at that guy for all the evil stuff he did. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the maturest Apostle Paul ever. He's got a very full beard, and he's probably gray, and he's in Rome. And he says, I'm not doing Elmer Fudd. I'm doing somebody else. So I'm not trying to do Elmer Fudd. Don't think I'm trying to do Elmer Fudd and failing, because I'm not. So God's going to get that guy. So I'm telling you that you have to take comfort in the fact that the tables are going to be turned. I know you're trying to be holier than that, and that you want to see your enemies vanquished, and you want to see them come to the realization. You want to see the V8 moment. Well, it's going to happen. I'm telling you this to comfort you, because it comforted the Apostle Paul at the end of his life to think that Alexander the coppersmith was going to be repaid for his wickedness and his evilness by God. So it's going to happen, I promise you. I promise you. And it's right here in Ezekiel 36:31. You're going to loathe yourself. Israel's going to loathe itself. But again, I know I have to go here. I'm on 14 minutes. Oh my gosh. So, Joseph's brothers, they loathed themselves, and they were ready to, like, it was the first time in history that 12 men simultaneously peed themselves. I'm speaking of Joseph's brothers and probably one of the guards there. He peed himself too when Joseph announced who he was. But Joseph said, you meant this thing for evil that you did, but God meant it for good. So after they pee themselves, there's going to be a restoration. Somebody's going to clean the pee off the floor, and then there's going to be a restoration. And you saw it. Joseph went away. He wept, came back, and he put on a great feast for his brothers, but he tortured him for a while. He tortured him. He sent the eldest brother back to bring the youngest brother back, and he made him feel like crap for several months, but then he revealed himself. So God's going to, you know, there's gonna be some judgment there. I won't use the word torture, but I will use the word judgment, because it's a sound scriptural word. All right, this is Martin Zender. I'm going to be on the road for a week, gearing up for the Faith North Carolina Conference. So I want you to go to my website where you are already. Homepage, you get more information about the details. What is it, the 14th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th? I don't know. It's not every one of those days, but it's a couple of those days. Pick a few of those days. That's the weekend of faith. It's this coming weekend. Let's just put it that way. So I hope to see you in Faith, North Carolina. If you're thinking about going, you're undecided, you need to go. This is going to be the event of the year. It's going to be a huge conference. I'm going to be there. Clyde Pilkington's going to be there. Dan Sheridan's going to be there this weekend, whatever the dates are. I don't know what the dates are. I want to see you there.